This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now we're going to stay in the water, or near the water at least, but this is not David Attenborough territory. This is a little stretch of the New York City shoreline called Dead Horse Bay. And that name is not at all figurative or metaphorical. This is where the city dealt with the bodies of horses in the days when that was a major sanitation effort. And the beach here, in fact, is still a garbage dump, but an interesting one if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're going to look at some old garbage. It's my favorite thing. They built this city. So Google Maps used to have it called Dead Horse Bay, then Bottle Beach, and then I noticed this morning they changed it to Glass Bottle Beach.
Our guide on this excursion is Julia Wirtz, a cartoonist who does elaborate renderings of local geography and history, and she knows more nooks and crannies of New York City than anyone you'll ever meet.
We'll cross busy Flatbush, and then over to the left is the bridge that goes out to the Rockaways. See, these people are coming from there. She's got boots on. Hey, did you guys just come from Bottle Beach out there?
Yeah.
How was it?
Good. Yeah? Low tide, so lots out.
Okay, nice. Oh, yeah, you got your rain boots on here?
Yeah, the trail's pretty good. Pretty cleared out, not too muddy. And there's lots of stuff on the beach right now. Lots of glass and bottles.
Okay.
Since it's low tide, so
great.
You should be in good shape. Have fun.
All right, yeah,
thanks.
Well, there'll be a little trail up here, kind of breaking through these trees. Used to come here, when I first came here, you kind of had to bushwhack your way through all of this forest land. So I started my career as a cartoonist, which is a lot of sitting indoors for 16 hours a day by yourself, listening to podcasts and watching TV. And I decided that I wanted to do something outdoors. And I had a friend who reintroduced me to exploring abandoned buildings. And I got consumed by it, and I quit my job, and I did nothing but that for 2 years. So Bottle Beach was one of my first places. I don't consider it urban exploring because it's not an abandoned building, but it's still an abandoned, forgotten area within New York City. Now we're emerging from the path, and you'll start to see some of the bottles. So a lot of these bottles, you can tell the different uses from them. Let's see, like this is soda, and there's a lot of cosmetic bottles. So see all of these, this milk glass, and usually they're still whole. These ones are my favorite, like little tiny brown ones. These are little apothecary bottles. They took Barren Island, which is where we are now, and they filled it in with garbage to connect it to Brooklyn. And in the 50s, all that garbage came flooding into the bay and has been washing up on the shore ever since. But you know, back then they didn't have plastics and all these things that are clogging up our landfills now that won't just kind of be reabsorbed by the earth. So pretty much all they had was leather and glass. And a lot of nylons. You'll see a lot of ladies' nylons wrapped up in these tree roots that are sticking out from the 1800s, early 1900s, and it's all collected in this tree, which has toppled, so its roots are revealed, and it's just collecting all the nylons. Oh yeah, as soon as you touch it, it just kind of falls apart. Ugh. It's very beautiful. Like, I think so. Like, all this glass, all this history just sort of scattered about in a broken way. And then you can see the lower toward the water you get, the more you actual whole bottles are. It's very rare to find silverware out here because that's one of the things that people scavenge for. But I brought my mom out here and I told her, like, look for silverware because often in the handle of old silverware, it'll be engraved where it's from. So there's like a lot of New York asylums. They had New York's property of New York City hospitals engraved into the handle. And I told my mom to keep an eye out and I was like, oh, but you won't find any. And almost as soon as I finished that sentence, she pulled a spoon from just this pile of garbage and it was the New York Department of Public Education, which I'd never seen before. She was ecstatic and I was mad because I have come out here for years looking for silverware and she just found it in the blink of an eye. I don't need this. I don't need more stuff. I have to put it back. It belongs to the sea. I think my favorite part of coming down here actually is sitting quietly and listening to the water come in because you can hear it, the tinkling noise of broken glass as the water comes in. Usually around dusk it sounds more, the ambient music. I used to take dates out here sometimes just to see how they would handle it. Like, if they didn't like it, if they thought it was gross and I just took them to a landfill, then I wouldn't ask them out on a second date. But if they were into it, then I knew that they were probably pretty cool. And maybe it would work out. For a long time, this sort of stuff didn't show up in my work, and I lived a sort of split life where I made comics about my daily life. So I was making comics about really boring daily things and then doing these spectacularly strange and exciting urban exploring things that I wasn't putting into comics, and I didn't know how to marry the two until I started doing comics for The New Yorker, which were about history. And then I realized that this is history, like Bottle Beach is history, so I could just make a comic about Bottle Beach and tie those two things together. So I do have comics about weird and forgotten places in New York.
So what is this?
So it's just like a wood. It's like a little turnkey right here. I have no idea what this is, but I like it. So it's, say it's like a handmade wood stick with a little platform on top and what looks like a little turnkey on the side of that platform, and I have no idea what this is. I'm taking it home. This is my date, my treasure for the day. I said I wasn't going to take anything. I lied. I knew it. I knew it would happen.
Julia Wirtz at Glass Bottle Beach on the shore of Dead Horse Bay. I'm totally not making this up. You can check it out on Google Maps. And she's the author of Tenements, Towers, and Trash, an unconventional illustrated history of New York City.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.